What a blessing. That was a great song, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm grateful for this church so much. Words really wouldn't do it justice, and it's just a privilege to be back for just a few days, and we're grateful for that opportunity to see my mother on her birthday, and just to be with you all is truly encouraging, and it's exciting to see what God is doing here and continuing to do here. Really is a privilege, and it's encouraging to all of us. I know Brother Van Gelderen to feel the same way. When you're traveling and you're seeing what God's doing in other parts of the world, it's encouraging, and I'm grateful to be here. If you would, notice again just one verse, Psalm 78. Notice verse 19. There's a question, really, that God's people ask of God that really is, frankly, just incredible, that they would even have the audacity, particularly after all that God had already done for them. Notice verse 19. The Bible says, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Can God? I have those two words underlined in my Bible, and it's just fascinating to think about this reality. This generation that is breathing free air out of Egypt, that have experienced so much of what God has done and promised to them, they have the audacity to ask God, can he do something? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Several months ago, I was first thinking about this psalm, and I was reading it, and I was just struck by that phrase. I just kept mulling it over in my mind, and Brittany had made dinner. We were sitting down as a family eating dinner, and I just randomly, it was just on my mind, I just announced to the table, just out of nowhere. I just asked the question exactly as God has it recorded in his word. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I just let it hang. I'm sure Brittany thought I was insane. She's correct, of course. My kids probably didn't know. I mean, I don't do that often. They probably didn't know what I was asking either. But I remember James and Tim. James is my older son. Timothy just said, yes. I remember him just saying yes. And then I said, well, why? Why is yes your answer? And James said, well, he's God. He can do anything. And I thought, that's right. But yet, while it's easy for a 9-7-year-old to ask Abby the same thing this morning, just to see if she, and she said the same thing. It's interesting, isn't it? Children can understand this concept. Can God, that there's no limit to what God can do. He can do anything. And yet, sometimes we as adults, me included especially, have the tendency to forget that very thing. This nation, this people that is, again, breathing non-Egyptian atmosphere for the first time in 70-some years, or hundreds of years, I should say, are doing so now, and now they have questions about, is there something God can do? The truth is, in your life today, when the question is, can God, the answer is yes. And I hope you'll have your hearts open as we look at this text and look at this thought. Notice some of these things that God is teaching his people. Number one in the text, I want you to consider God's amazing provision. God's amazing provision. Verse 9 of our text in Psalm 78 says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forget his works and his wonders that he showed them." Now, the psalmist, if you're familiar with Asaph, then you know he was a song leader. He was a Levite who was leading music for David. King David appointed him. And this psalm in particular, there are several, about 10 here in the book of Psalms, these 10 around this section from Psalm 73 to Psalm 83 or so, are psalms written by Asaph. And this one, you'll see in the title, says maskil. This is the idea of a teaching psalm. So he's giving this to teach and to remind God's people of some important things. And in this case, it's very historical. If you read through Psalm 78, you'll notice that it's a recounting of very much of Israel's history and what they've been through. And it really begins here. And as he's referring now to this generation, this new generation that is living under the reign of King David, he's referring them back to their forefathers that were the ones that were coming into the promised land. And what does he say of them? An important phrase in verse 11, the Bible says that generation forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. As Asaph begins to remind this generation of God's people about what God has already done, and he's reminding them of his amazing provision, he's telling them, first of all, that he provided deliverance. Verse 13, of course, reminds us of the crossing of the Red Sea. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, right? And made the waters to stand as a heap. He's reminding this generation of what their forefathers had experienced, specifically the crossing of the Red Sea. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, one of the things that you'll know and becomes readily apparent in the reading of the Old Testament is God constantly is going to remind his people about the crossing of the Red Sea. Why? Because for the Old Testament saint, this was the greatest example of God's power in delivering them from the mightiest nation on earth at the time, the nation of Egypt. And he did so miraculously by parting water and millions walking through on dry ground. Now, what do we as the New Testament? You'll find something similar in the New Testament, but you know what you find is the paradigm of God's power in the New Testament? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. You'll constantly find the apostles referring back to the resurrection. So whether it's the resurrection in the New or the crossing of the Red Sea is old, in the Old Testament, you know what we realize in both Testaments? That God has the power to do anything that is in his will to do. God can deliver his people, and he provided deliverance to that generation. Notice the second thing he reminds them of his provision, and that is he provided direction. Not only deliverance, but direction. Verse 14, the Bible says, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. I've always been fascinated by the direction of God in the Old Testament, particularly in the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. We've talked about it a lot. I learned it in this church, in junior church, and I heard about God directing his people. And I've always been fascinated by the idea of God leading his people with a cloud and then with a fire. And have you ever asked yourself and wondered why? You know, the truth is you can... Fire, of course, is very visible at night, and cloud is very visible by day. But you know what? A big ball of fire in the sky during the day would be pretty visible. I think you'd notice that, right? There's got to be more to it than just that. Well, if you're in the desert, you know, one of the things that you'll realize, the sun beating down on you, you know, you realize this in Florida, because I've been around here long enough to know. When you're in the shade, it feels about 10 degrees cooler, doesn't it? That sun beating down on you, that is hot. But you get in a little shade, it's not so bad. You know, one of the things that God's people are going to need in a desert, they could use some shade. That cloud, you still see God's direction. He's leading them very clearly, but you know what? You get a little extra shade. That's nice. What about at night? Well, in the desert, it gets very cold at night, doesn't it? Pillar of fire by night, guess what? That's going to help warm you up a little bit. You know, the truth is God can lead his people in many different ways, but he always leads very clearly. Whether it's fire, whether it's a cloud, he leads appropriately. He's always leading. Can I tell you something? As a New Testament Christian, you never have to worry about whether or not God is leading and working in your life. Can I tell you something? He's leading. He constantly is. Do you have the faith to see it? Will you look up? God is providing. He didn't just lead them out of Egypt. Can I tell you something? He was leading them into the promised land. And God's not just interested in leading you out of whatever difficulty you're in. Can I tell you, he's interested in leading you something into, as we heard this morning, into a closer and more intimate relationship with him. He's interested in leading you into. God is delivering, but you know what? He's also directing. There's something else we see in the passage, and that is he provided drink. Notice verse 15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. One of the more amazing accounts, of course, throughout the entire story of the Exodus is how God allowed his people to drink from a rock. He allowed millions of people to be satisfied of their thirst. Why? Out of a rock. And how? Out of a rock. Moses struck the rock, and guess what happened? The whole nation was able to drink. God provided them that. Here's the truth. God is meeting needs in your life as well. God is providing amazingly for you today. If you were to stop and think about it, many times we take the time in November to be thankful to God and we count up our blessings. But the truth is, for the New Testament Christian, every day should be that. We should constantly remember about what God has delivered us from, how God is directing us now, and how God is providing for us every single day, every minute of the day. He's leading and he's providing for you. This is the nation. Can you imagine experiencing that? Can you imagine being one of those people who walks out of Egypt and into the desert on dry ground because of what God did at the Red Sea? Can you just try to, in your mind's eye, picture that for a minute? Then imagine after you get through all of that, that he led you, by the way, to and through the Red Sea because of the cloud. And then imagine the fact that every day you can wake up and look up and see God directing you to the next step. You go, you know what? I think Israel's that way and the cloud's going that way. But guess what? If you want God's provision, you want God's blessing, you're going to go where the cloud's going. Maybe in your life you think you know where you want to go. You think you know what God wants you to do and how you need to get there. And you go, you know what, God, I'm not sure if you know where you're going. I think we ought to go this way. But God's leading this way. Can I tell you something? Just go with the cloud. Go with God's direction. God is leading. He knows the way, and he knows the way you need to go. By the way, he knows the fastest way, but sometimes the fastest way isn't the way we need. He's providing direction. You know what? Of course, he's providing drink and everything that's needed on that way. In the text, we note, first of all, God's amazing provision. Secondly, in the text, I see this. I see Israel's absurd discussion. I mean, and it truly is absurd. Verse 18, the Bible says, "And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? This nation that has witnessed and has lived through God's amazing provision now has the audacity to among themselves discuss whether God can meet their needs now. Like God has somehow run out of power. He's run out of care. He's run out of interest in the nation of Israel. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? It's interesting, isn't it? You know what they're really asking? Notice in verses 19 and 20, they're really asking three things. They ask, first of all, can God sustain us miraculously? That's in verse 19. Can God furnish a table here in the wilderness? Can God furnish a table? That's an interesting question. But then they put a location on it, in the wilderness. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know what the truth is about the wilderness? There wasn't a whole lot of stuff there. In fact, if you're familiar with Exodus, then you know that there wasn't a whole lot of fruitfulness. There wasn't trees that they could just go pick fruit off of. There wasn't rice paddies that they could just go and, you know, get, I don't know, whatever they eat, right? Mediterranean-type foods, mostly what Israelis eat. But you get what I'm saying? There wasn't a Chick-fil-A around the corner. Because if the cloud was leading to a fast food joint, it would be Chick-fil-A, right? It's God's chicken. It's closed on Sunday. You know, it's not leading there. So how is God going to work? You know, can I tell you something? In other words, they looked on the outside and it looked like, how is God going to sustain us here? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Of course, you know the story. The answer is yes. You know, but sometimes we have a tendency to ask God the same question. We say things like this: does God know where I am? Doesn't he know what I'm going through here? Has he lost track of where I am, where he's leading me? Can I tell you something? The answer to all of those is yes. He does know where you are. He has led you where he's led you. He's allowed the things in your life where you are. And can I tell you something? He knows exactly where that is, and he can sustain you there. Can God sustain us miraculously? Here's the second thing they ask in verse 20, and that is, can God supply us totally? Verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also?" And we've got water. That's good. We're going to need that. But what about bread? He's miraculously, by the way, these same people that are drinking water from a rock are going to say, but can God give us bread? I'm sorry, the God who can give you water from a rock can absolutely meet your carb needs. Sorry, I had to get that in. can absolutely meet the bread needs. Can God supply us? Hey, we need bread and we need water. Can God supply us totally? And the answer is yes. Yes, he can give you bread also. He didn't run out of power with just the water from a rock. He still can meet the bread needs. And here's the third thought. Notice this. Can God satisfy us extravagantly? Notice verse 20 again. The Bible says, can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Okay, we got water, we got bread, but you know what? We'd really like some protein. We want flesh. We want meat. Can God even go beyond? In other words, does God know what I need and does God know what I want? And the answer is to all of them, yes. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? It's just an absurd question when you really think about it. When you think about all that this people have been experiencing, that they're living every day, they still have the audacity to ask God, can you furnish a table in the wilderness? And the truth is today, the tendency of our Christian lives, we who have experienced God's amazing provision can still sometimes get to the place in our life where we have a question. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Maybe you feel like today your life is a wilderness, that you feel like you're far from God, that you feel like, does God even know where I am and what I'm going through and the difficulties I'm experiencing? Maybe it's a health need. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a coworker. I don't know what your situation is. But can I tell you this? If the question is, can God? The answer is yes. He absolutely can. And yet we who think we're so smart, we've lived the Christian life so long, many times we're the first ones. We've experienced God's amazing provision, are the first ones to ask that absurd question. I just don't know if God can take me from here. He's got me this far, but I don't know. Can he get me all the way? The answer is yes, God can. Israel's absurd discussion, God's amazing provision. I leave you with this thought, number three in the text. Israel's appropriate correction. Appropriate correction, verse 21. The Bible says, therefore, the Lord heard this. By the way, he's always hearing. He hears. He knows your heart. And notice the result, and was wroth. That means he was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob. The anger also came up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Who had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. Think of it. The psalmist really here, Asaph, is teaching the people. He's basically editorializing. He's saying, listen, God commanded the bread, the clouds, and opened the window. God's opened the windows of heaven. He's raining down bread. He says, man's eating angels' food. They're literally eating angels' food cake. Every day. Not bad. Sounds pretty good. Notice, the man's eating angels' food. And then what does God do? The verse 25 says, he sent them meat to the full and caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And by his power, he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. He let it fall in the midst of their camp and round about in their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. You know, that's a powerful phrase in verse 29. He gave them their own desire. Be careful about what you're wishing for that's outside of God's will. You're complaining about what God's already given you. You're eating angels' food. But you say, can God furnish a table in the way? Can he give us meat also? God gave them so much meat, they were sick of it. Yes, he can. Notice verse 31. Or verse 30, they were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. They had a fleshly desire, didn't they? The Bible says, even after God gave them their meat, notice a powerful phrase in verse 30. The Bible says they were not estranged from their lust. Even after God gave them what they said they wanted, you know what? It didn't stop their lust. You know what? They still wanted more. You see, that's what many times the flesh wants to do, doesn't it? Can God, and you know what God does, and it doesn't even satisfy you, you still want something else. Can God? And we want more. We always want more, and we want more. That's what the flesh wants to do. And you know what? When God hears and sees that, it makes him angry. I didn't write it. That's what the Bible says. Verse 30, notice the back half of verse 30 says, but while the meat was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them. Their fleshly desire, their fitting discipline, God killed them. Many of them, not all of them, of course. Verse 32, notice this. The Bible says, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Did you catch what the Bible said in verse 22? They believed not. And then at the end of verse 32, and believed not. All of this precipitated from one big reason. Why? They didn't believe God. This generation, I'll remind you once more, that has crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, that is eating angels' food, that has experienced meat when they ask for it. They're drinking water from a rock. This nation that has experienced all of God's provision, they would not believe. They wouldn't believe that God could do more. They asked, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Maybe today you have a similar mindset. You wonder, can God meet my health needs? I don't know what health need you have. I don't know what health challenge you're facing, cancer or some other need. I don't know. Maybe you're wondering, can God do that? Can God meet my financial needs? Can God hear the prayers about my wayward child or my lost loved one? Does God hear those? Can God heal my family member who's just dealing with tremendous physical difficulties? Does God even care what I'm going through at work or at home? Can God lead me personally? Can he lead our church collectively? Can God still work in a world that is getting increasingly wicked every single day? Can God give us more in the future, more fruit in the future than even this church has experienced in the past? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes. Yes, he can. The only question is, what are you willing to believe him for? Are you going to trust him? He's at work. He's at work in this community. He's at work in this church. There's so much more, though, he wants to do. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe him? Do you believe that he wants to? Do you believe he's still working? Do you believe he's given up on America? Do you believe he's given up on this county? Can I tell you something? If you believe he's done, he's not going to work. He doesn't want to. That angers him. You know why? He's proven it to you time and time again. So many, many ways in your life. I wonder if God can meet my need. Let me ask you a question. Hasn't he met them all up to this point? Well, I tell you, he hasn't done everything. Listen, you're here because of God's great goodness and grace in your life. And I am too. Hey, listen, if he saved you from a devil's hell, that's a wonderful blessing. That's enough provision right there to warrant the rest of my life of service to him. The truth is, if we look back, he's done so much more than that for us. He's done it for you. And he wants to do more. Aren't you grateful God's not done? He wasn't done just getting Israel past the Red Sea. He wanted to get them all the way into Canaan. And he wants to do the same for you. He's got a plan in your life. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust him? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I think James had it right. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yeah. He's God. He can do anything. The truth is, he can. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to talk to you just for a minute. Christ is the only one who can deliver you from your sin. The world will tell you, religion will tell you, there's many roads and one destination. The truth is, the Bible's clear. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not many roads, there's only one road. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, can I tell you plainly, that is your great need today. Maybe you're thinking, can God save a sinner like me? You don't know what I've done. You don't know how long I've lived for myself. You don't know what I've done, what's been in my past. Can I tell you something? I don't have to. The answer again, the question is, can God? The truth is, yes, He can. You know what the Apostle Paul found when he was still living in sin, mixed up in religion? You know what he found? He found that God could save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. If you'll come today, you know what you'll find? The exact same thing the Apostle found. The Christ can and He will save you today if you'll come to Him in faith. Do you believe? Will you trust Him? We'll have workers here at the front in just a minute. When the instruments begin to play, you can respond and you can trust Christ as your Savior. If you do know Christ as your Savior and you're here today, can I tell you something? Your unbelief will limit God's working in your life. The Bible says in the same psalm, we didn't take the time to read it, but verse 41 says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Do you want to limit God? You say, how can I limit God? You never limit God's power. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. But can I tell you something? You can limit that power working in your life because of your unbelief. God has proven Himself to us every day of our lives, time and time again, if we'll have the faith to see it. He has provided for our daily needs, and the truth is, many of our wants too. And He's constantly leading if we'll have the courage to move forward. He will provide as we follow His leadership. The question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Think of it. In a place with no food, no furniture, no fruitfulness, can there be provision? And the answer is then, and it is now, yes. For 40 years, God provided Israel's every need, every day. The only thing He expects, the thing He really truly deserves in return, is our trust. May God help us to trust Him.